Buongiorno.
Buongiorno. How are you?
Well, we just had a little pre-chat before coming on, before pressing record, and my brain is just empty.
Got nothing in
So,
there.
no. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I mean, I feel okay, but there isn't anything in here.
Beautiful. It's gonna,
So,
it's
yeah.
because there's so much creativity that has expanded that it's just gonna like be focused and targeted into this podcast today. I'm really looking
Okay.
forward to
I thought maybe it had all come out of my ears while I was asleep. And that's what the stains on my pillow were. Blech. So
Ew.
I don't know. Ew. I don't know. Anyway, let's try and
Yeah.
have a conversation, Alison.
I would like to. And the
What
conversation I want to
happened?
have is about okay, so it's this time of year, right? It's the holiday time of year. We spend a lot of time with family, extended family usually. That tends to kick things up for us. It's end of year, so professionally, a lot of businesses are like wrapping things up and trying to slide things in before the end of the year and getting their books ready and looking at P&Ls. And so it seems like workplace stuff.
PLF, what did you say?
P&L, a profit and loss statement.
Oh, you're so fancy.
Oh, for
Okay.
sure.
No jargon on here, please. We would like it to be
Sorry.
accessible for everybody, including the people participating
Tracy.
in and
It
me. No code.
I loved it.
Thank you.
The
Yeah.
financials.
The financials. Okay.
And then it's the end of the year. So, like, there's gifts and there's parties and there's social obligations. So it tends to kick a lot of things up. And I'm noticing that with my clients for the last month or so, there's been heated people getting upset or hijacked emotionally a lot more easily. And about things where you're like, oh, that doesn't seem like that big a deal, but it is now, right? I can tolerate a lot when I'm calm and grounded, but when I'm stressed, my capacity to handle things goes down. So I think that's my theory, one of a thousand, is that it's just we get stressed out and then we're just like, you don't even have to do much. You just have to poke a little bit and we're flying off the handle. And I noticed it in myself. I have a story about what happened for me. I have a really great story from one of my clients. Actually, is it two of my clients? Yeah. So, anyways, we can talk about all of those things today.
Great. I feel like I'm gonna be just sitting here humming. I don't know what's going on.
You just have to like look at me and nod, and then that way I feel like, Allison, look at that brilliance.
Good
Look at how
nodding.
that's so good. Yes.
What's happened? My brain's gone. Woo.
Well, have you ever been hijacked?
No, I am
Never.
brilliant and
You have control of
I'm
your senses.
emotionally, I have
You are
complete control of
British.
myself. Yes, I'm very British. I never lose control and I'm never hijacked by anything. Yeah, of course. I mean, I can relate to what you're saying. I understand all the words. It's just I don't know what's happened to me today,
No
but
worries.
we don't have to post to this one. So yes, I mean, I definitely can relate to the piece about when I'm stressed, things I would normally be able to cope with, I have less ability to cope with them. That makes sense to me. And I also know and agree with, yeah, of course, this is a really busy time. And there's this weird deadline running up. For me, it's Christmas Day. For other people, it might be Christmas Eve, who celebrate on the 24th. All this pressure, and it's illogical because it's one day. Even if you count Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and Boxing Day, do you call it Boxing Day?
No, we don't
What
have
do you
that.
call the what do you call the day after
We
Christmas
don't have,
Day?
it's like, thank God that's over with. We don't have a thing. The Canadians do, they
Oh.
call it Boxing Day, but we
Oh,
do not
okay.
have such a thing.
So just you have Christmas Day, and then that's it, it's done.
Back to work.
Oh.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. So for us it's Christmas Day and Boxing Day in England, United Kingdom. So it's 2 days, but you're shopping as if as if there's a war and you're never ever going to get, be able to get to the shops again. Like you need
Yes.
to, bunker down into the house. There will be no food ever again. And
Right.
you need all the food in case
Yes.
somebody wants one of these or one of those. So it all becomes very weird. And I've tried to do the preparation where, early, which means I've had the Christmas stress early. So I have been feeling quite stressed.
Yes.
And thinking a lot about roast potatoes and all
This is
of the
important
trimmings.
shit.
It's very important stuff. So that's my contribution. Back to you, Alison Garner, in the studio.
So, how do you know when you're hijacked? Like, how do you know?
Hijacked meaning.
Emotionally triggered, your nervous system is activated. Like, how do you know? Like, what happens to you when you're like, fuck?
I get a kind of weird, I have a nervous energy inside me. It's almost like a trembling
Yeah.
inside. That can happen to me.
Yep. Yes.
Like a shaky feeling inside.
Yes.
Reminds me of being a child,
Me too.
sort of
I just had the same
nervousness.
thought.
Yeah,
Just like
kind
all
of like I feel a
shaky.
bit sick and a bit shaky inside.
Yes. Yep.
And nervous, and I don't, and there's a feeling of like I don't know what's going to happen, and I don't know what to do. So it's very unnerving, unpleasant feeling. And I think my mind, I've heard you use this word, and it feels like the right word to use. I feel like my mind gets flooded, and I can't seem to think about anything other than the thing that is upsetting me or triggering me
Yeah.
or is
Yes.
worrying me.
Yes.
So being able to think logically isn't kind of available, or being able
Yeah.
to think beyond that just isn't available. I'm stuck in this sort of container of nervousness,
Yeah.
and it's really quite horrible.
Yeah,
I'm
that's
taking a
really,
pause there.
I mean, that's when you say it's childlike, the last time I got hijacked, which was a week and a half ago, I couldn't believe how when I left, I got triggered by something, and I literally had to physically remove myself from the room. So I was just like, I can't talk about this now, I'm going to leave, which isn't a really great way to leave somebody, right? That left a big mess that I had to go back and clean up later. But at the time, like I had to get out of there, which isn't like me. That's not a normal thing for me. I'm not a fleer. I'm a fighter. Like I'm fight or flight. I'm the fighter. And I married a fleer, so it's really cute because he runs and then I just chase after him. Anywho, I got in my car and I felt like a child that couldn't stop crying. It was really strange. And yet it was really familiar. I'm a old lady now and I'm driving around and I can't stop the round and around and around the thoughts and like the victim-y, like why is this happening and why do they do this to me and why can't they understand, like all of like whoa. And just in the trembling energy, and knowing that, like now that I'm old enough, like I know that's gonna go away, so I could be with it. But man, there's a sense of like, I just want it to stop.
Yes. Yeah, it definitely. You're confirming what I said, and I'm coming back to it. Kind of very, feels very young,
Yeah.
and like I don't have access to the, cognitively more developed part of my mind when that happens. And I am thinking about a conversation I had a few weeks ago now, with somebody who was a little bit angry. They were coming across to me as being quite angry on the phone.
Are you talking about me
And,
now?
well, yeah,
I'm just
obviously.
kidding.
So glad you're behaving today. But yeah, they were My experience of them was that they were angry, they were illogical, and I was trying to follow what was happening. And actually that meant I got kind of sucked into it rather than being able to separate. So I wasn't able to separate myself. I'm kind of like making sense of this as I speak it, but because I was sort of following them and trying to make sense of it as I went, I wasn't dispassionate. I wasn't detached. I was in it with them, and I kind of got sucked in. When that call ended, I had a release of emotion. I was crying. It didn't last very long. I don't know, like whatever, 5 minutes or something, or 10 minutes of, crying and sort of, and then I kind of collected myself. But it did take me a while, as in probably days to a couple of weeks, to slowly process and begin to understand more fully what had happened. I was guessing at what had happened for them, but working out and understanding what had happened for me in that conversation. And as I say, I can now, talking about it and remembering it, I sort of got swept away by that other person's emotions. And I was trying to work it out and fix it and make it okay in the moment, as opposed to being able to have a little bit of space between me and what was happening for them. Yeah. And I had crying, and I had a sense of fear and nervousness inside me. And I think part of that, I feel it's quite a female trait. A lot of women I know share a similar thing. I was trying to make it okay for them in the call. And to a degree, I sort of abandoned myself in my quest to make it okay for them.
And it would be great if you could do both. And I think that's where, when you talk about the detached and dispassionate, that sounds cold. And what I've learned is it actually it's almost counterintuitive. Again, so many things in life are that when I can remain dispassionate and detached, I can actually be with the other person without getting sucked in. Because, like, if I'm drowning, the worst thing you can do is jump off the boat, right? Like, it's
I'll
better for
remember
you
that.
to send a,
I mean,
throw
you
me a
said.
lifesaver or something. But the worst thing you can do is jump into the water. Like, the best thing you can do is get something, a rope, something to help them to, get to, so that they can get their head above water.
Yeah, I mean, another way I think of saying dispassionate, detached is grounded. It's another way of looking at it. If I, and I think that's what I want more and more for myself, is knowing myself and taking care of myself so that I am grounded more and more of the time, and less at the whim of what is happening around me. Whether it's, I mean, that's a relatively, for me, that's quite an extreme situation to be in a conversation with someone who's quite angry. I don't have that on a regular basis, which is, I'm thankful for. But even when people aren't angry, like my eldest son has just returned home. He came back yesterday. I've seen him over the 4 years that he's been studying in America. He's come back for Christmas and come back in the summers. He didn't come back this year for the summer. But there's this person who I know and love who's moved back into the family home, who was 20 when he left and is now 24. And he's not angry. He's unpacking and doing things. And I can feel my groundedness, my detachment, my dispassionate allowing of him to be him and me to be me. I can feel it slipping and sliding. I'm kind of, like something's happening. It's not a triggering situation, as in there's nothing
Yeah.
awful has happened. You know, he's come back and he's unpacking. It's nothing
But it's
has
taking up some
happened.
real estate, some mental real estate for sure. It's in there because
Yes,
he's
it
there.
is. Yes. And I'm sort of catching myself. I can feel myself being pulled a little bit like I was in that conversation when the person was angry. I can feel myself being pulled. He's not pulling me, and neither was the person in the phone call. They weren't saying in this call like, "You need to make it right. Do something." None of that was said. And the same as with my son, he's not saying, "Come and do this for me." But there's something in me. It's almost like the Pied Piper. Something. And I'm like, I just go. Does any of that make any sense,
Oh my
Alison?
God, yes, all of it makes sense because that's exactly what
Okay.
my experience was too, and it's the experience that my clients are having that the way I let me see if I can say it. The person that I was triggered by, she was really upset about something. She was upset about something related to me. And I couldn't just let her be upset. I took it, and then I was like, I made it mean a bunch of terrible things about me. So that's what kicked off my like, I gotta get out of here. Because then suddenly I was like a shitty mom, I was a shitty friend, I was a shitty person, like all of these things, and somehow I was like the cause of her upset. And I'm not.
Yes.
But
No.
my nervous system doesn't know that. And for some reason, the circumstances are just right. Like a hurricane, all of the environmental factors have to be just so to get that thing spinning. Same thing with me. Like I was probably stressed out. I probably hadn't eaten enough that day, or maybe I was tired, maybe I had a headache, whatever. And then I go into the situation and it was like just the right conditions and boom. She says like two things and I'm like 0 to 10. Like my nervous system went phew, and I couldn't catch it. I was like, oh shit, I gotta get out of here.
Yeah, really good point about a cocktail of environmental factors contributing to and potentially undermining how grounded you were able to be in that situation.
Mike Tyson says everybody has a plan till you get hit in the face. And like I have said that in so many different instances, and that's exactly how it, in a different way, it felt like I was cool, I was calm, I was prepared to be with this person, and then suddenly I got cold cocked and I was like, wait, what? And everything went offline. Like I couldn't make sense of things. I was trying not to cry. It again felt very young. When you're little and you try not to cry and you can't hide your face, and so your face makes the thing, and you're just like, that's literally how I was feeling. I couldn't make eye contact with her anymore. It was interesting to like be able to witness it from like a not, I didn't do anything wrong. I used to make that wrong and make it mean I was weak. And just like, 'cause you had said, I love what you said, that you abandon yourself. But somehow I got caught up in the upsetness in the space, took all of it, and like then it created this like, I must suck really, really bad, and that feels terrible. And so I'm going to, and then my nervous system is like, okay, we're ready. What are we doing? So somehow I think the ego kicks this stuff up for us. I don't know a better word for it. Maybe it's not ego. I'm not a psychotherapist or a psychologist. But I think my ego was like, I got you. Here's what we're going to do. All the systems are going to come online. You're going to lose your mind. You're going to feel like you're going to want to peel your skin off. You're going to get in your car. You're going to drive around and cry. I mean, I love
Great
my ego
plan.
because she's hilarious. She's like she's always ready for a fight. So she's like, I got you. So yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm sort of thinking about what Liz Gilbert said somewhere about, you know, I might even have it written on the wall.
Who is Liz Gilbert and why are you hanging out with her? I thought I was your only friend.
She, you are my only friend. She, I don't hang out with her. She wrote
Okay,
Eat,
good.
Pray, Love and
Okay,
Big
fine.
Magic. I don't know. I think this was her. We have emotions that 24/7 let us know the quality of the experience we're creating with our thinking.
Ugh,
Quite
gross.
long, but basically, I'm sort of thinking
Yep.
my thinking is what is creating that emotional experience. So I think I'm under threat, or in that that conversation with the
Yes.
person who to me seemed quite angry on the phone,
Yeah.
my thinking was, I need to make this okay for them.
Yes.
And the abandoning of self was, I don't matter. The thinking was, I don't matter as much as their my experience and my feelings, and I don't matter as much as them. So my job now is to make them okay.
Yeah.
That was my thinking, and that created the experience of me abandoning myself, because I was like, I'm going to put you down, Mia. Don't worry about you. Let's sort this person out because they matter more than you.
Well, I like that the I wonder if it's that they don't matter more than you. I feel like my version of that is if anybody is displeased, it's not okay. If that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense for me too. That I think I have both of those. I definitely have the I can't be the cause of anyone being upset,
Yes.
and because I can't tolerate that, I
Right.
can't bear that somebody might be upset with me
Yes.
and not think I'm good and perfect and wonderful and the cause of happiness for them. And also, I don't matter as much as you, whoever you is in the conversation. I have that. I have the thinking like, you don't matter. Like, other people matter more. And I notice that a lot, that sort of little combination of the things
Yeah.
you've mentioned and the thing for me of me not mattering or being as worthy of care, concern, attention,
Yep.
as others, mean that I have a whiff of abandoning myself. Often
Yes.
it will be just my experience. And I think because I've done so much emotional work on
You really
myself,
have,
Alison,
let's be
just
honest.
saying, that I can catch that whiff. It doesn't
Yeah,
need to
yeah.
be a stench, like a very pungent, strong experience. I can catch a little whiff of it or a whisper of it. And I caught that today. I have things to do today. And
Uh-oh.
my mind was on my son. Like, what can
Oh.
I do for him? How can I help him? I wondered, will he want a cup of tea? I offered him a cup of tea when I didn't want one. I wasn't making one for myself. And I was like, what are you doing? What's happening? Why are you doing that? Now I've got all the logical, normal human answers, like, oh, you're being kind, you're making him a cup of tea. Da-da-da-da-da. Like, why am I giving myself a job? Offering a cup of tea to somebody who, and I don't even want one, and they're in the house and they can make their own tea, and blah, 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 and I
Yeah.
have a schedule of things I need to do. What am I doing? And that's for me is a small version of abandoning myself. I know we kind of moved away from being triggered, but actually, that behavior slightly triggers me because I'm like, Mia, I do have a bit of judgment around it. I'm going to stop speaking. Say something.
No, I think it's
Makes
all
sense and
in
all
the
that.
same. Ha! Well, you talked about the quote, which is the thinking creates the emotions, which creates the experience. So emotions can be a sign of like, oh, I think my thinking is off or my thinking isn't helping me right now. When I
Yeah.
was driving around in the car, I knew my thoughts were not helping. But I couldn't go, like you had said before, That when you're triggered, it shuts down access to the other parts of, and I don't know what parts of the brain. Again, I'm not a psychologist or a neuroscientist, so I call it the wise mind because it's easy for me to remember. But when I am like, when I am not okay, and when I'm emotional and I've gotten myself all like, freaked out, I can't access my wise part of my brain. That's really nice and has all the grace in the world and is super compassionate and says, it's okay. You're going to be okay. Everything is fine. You're not a shitty person. I couldn't, she was like, I'm sure she was there, but she was very quiet. And my ego was running around like punching people out, right? She's like, bitch, we're going to drive around this car and you're going to like plot the revenge of all the people. And I'm like, okay, I got it. But like, I just feel terrible. Where's my wise gal? Where's she at? And I can't get there. And I think that that's the, I think I know this. It is a biological evolution of humans that like that has to work that way. You want the adrenaline, you want the blood pressure, you want the pupils, all the things so that you're ready. And I think it just takes time for all of that to settle. And the thinking, like if we can't interrupt it, which I couldn't really interrupt it right away. I think as my biology started to dissipate or those things started to get metabolized, all of the chemicals and things that were happening, then slowly my wise mind, I could hear her. So it's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think you said I've gotten myself all freaked out, and I think that is a key piece. I
Yes.
got myself into
I
that
did it all by
state.
myself.
Yes, you know.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, there's a cocktail of things happening in the environment. You might be tired, they might be shouting, and all of those things matter. They are important and not to
Sure.
be ignored. But I think it's in this moment anyway. I might change my mind in another moment, but right now I'm kind of like, yeah, the job really is for me to have sort of mental hygiene where I'm really aware of my thinking,
Yeah.
because my thinking creates my emotional experience
Yes.
and my thinking drives my behaviors. And those
Cognitive
two
behavioral
things,
triangle.
those things create how I experience and live my life, which reinforces my thinking. So actually my mental hygiene, like thought hygiene, is really important, because that actually helps to keep me grounded and rooted in the things that I value and the things that I care about.
Yes.
So I can stand more firmly and more squarely in those things when life is happening around me.
That brings me to the example of a client where this client runs a very successful, very large company. Let's see, how do I do this by with protecting people? Hold on, let me see what I can say. So very similarly, he tends to put his partner, business partner's needs above his own. This guy is gritty. This guy will work outwork anybody. This guy can solve all the problems. And I think that's a gift and a curse, right? It's a gift because he's incredibly successful. It's a curse because he'll just keep taking on more. And at one point, I said to him, because he was just talking about being like, at the, you and I use this word, which I hate, at the effect of all of the partner's desires and wants and expectations. And I was like, what do you want? That's a terrible question, right? I really have learned how to hate that question. And it's terrible because no, none of us know typically. And even when we think we know, we don't really know. And then even when we do know, we probably haven't shared it with anybody, right? It's like the best kept secret. So he, at the end of the session, had some action items that he was going to take on. And one of them was to share what he wanted about inside the business. And I said, okay, great. Sounds like a great plan. And then he got real quiet and he said, I don't think I've ever shared what I wanted with my partner. And so when you're talking about values and you're talking about wants and desires, it's like it's so easy to abandon ourselves anyways. But it's like the slipperiest slope in the world if you don't know what you want and you don't know what you value. Because now you're literally at the whim of all the people around you. So I'm thinking about like, how do we resolve some of this stuff? It's exactly what you said. You better know what you want and what you value.
It's my lens or my torch or whatever is often looking out. I'm looking out at how can I, how do I say this? I'm looking out at others and trying to make it okay out there for them. And when I turn that lens or torch or whatever around and shine it in on me, and try and make it okay for me, actually, that's often the best use of my time. Because then I can start to understand what are my values? What are the things that matter to me? What do I believe? What do I need? What do I want? And then when I know those things, I feel less vulnerable to the ins and outs and whims and wildnesses of the outside world. I feel stronger and more steady inside myself.
Gets you back into your body, gets you back into your nervous system. It's so funny.
And with
So,
that, and without that, Ali, sorry, just to say that,
no, you're fine.
without that, without feeling strong and grounded in all of those things within myself, it's actually much harder for me to play out with other people because I'm following them and kind of going, oh, I don't know, it doesn't feel quite right to me, but I haven't spent any time working out what I really want. So I'll just follow along with others. And then I'll often be blaming them about how it went for me because I just tripped along behind them. I was like, I don't really want to do this. And it didn't feel quite right, but I did it anyway. Why did you do it? I don't know. And I'm still tripping along behind them doing what they want, as opposed to spending the time on myself. You know, like here I am offering to make a grown man a cup of tea who can make a cup of tea for himself if he wants to. How about I shine that little bit of attention in on me? What do you need right now? Would you like a cup of tea? Would you like to sit down for
Like
5
if you
minutes
want
with
to mother
someone?
him, if that's when you look at yourself and you're like, I
Hmm.
just want to mother him right now,
Yes.
boom, okay, I'll
Yeah.
make you tea and breakfast and I'll make your bed and I'll do your laundry and do you need a hug and tell me all the
Have you been watching me today?
I am a mother. I think we all have the same weird thing. That too is like a D, that's passed down in the DNA. We're all very similar. I don't care where you are, what country, mothers are very similar in my,
I think I
again,
want
my
to mother
opinion.
me, though. I want to put that, if we just use that as a word, you know, I will benefit, and I do benefit when I put that attention in on myself. And all of that, to come back to the word, you know, where we kind of started with triggering, I get less triggered when I am nurturing and looking after myself. I am less at the whim and fancy of others and what's happening for them when I have nurtured and nourished myself.
You know, once I left that location that I was with the other person, I got, real triggered with, and then I drove around and cried. And I had to go, my daughter was gone, so I was taking care of her cats. She has two cats, and they're alone the whole time, except for when I show up. So when I go in, they are very attentive. And I just laid on the couch, and both the cats were just purring, right? Which, if you like cats, don't like cats, but it's a very healing harm, whatever frequency. Like, I got real calm. And once I could calm my nervous system, I could get back to like, okay, what actually is it? What kicked this off? So let's say, I was like, I immediately made it mean I sucked or I was a terrible whatever. And I kept going. And I actually, you and I talked about this, but I used ChatGPT. She's not my best friend in any way, but
Good.
sometimes she is
Good.
available like 24/7. And so I was like, I put the whole situation in the chat and I was like, what are some reasons that this would kick off this whole, you know, reaction. And it came back with like six or seven options. And one of them was, this person does not have my back. And I was like, oh, like, I don't know why I hadn't put all of those pieces together, but it was in that moment where, like, what I'm trying to say is why I'm saying all of this is I think it's helpful for us to go back and walk through the experience when we're calm and grounded and try to pull out, like, what's the actual thing underneath that had me, you know, do all of the things, make the story, get triggered, leave, make a mess. I made a mess. I had to go back. I did go back and clean that up. I did call that person about an hour afterwards and say, I know that wasn't a great. And she was also even more upset. She was already upset. And then she was even more upset because then I left. And her words were, what do you expect me to do when you just walk out the door? And I love that statement because I was like, I can imagine that was not fun for you. But like, when I'm calm and grounded, I can hear that and not take that on. It's like, no offense, but like, that's your thing to deal with. Like, it's not my responsibility to deal with you when I walk out a door, right? And yet I can care and have a lot of concern for her. I can be detached as well as very compassionate. So I think it is helpful to go back and to understand, like, what is this? And that is a childhood thing for me, for sure. Like, one of my main pain points is that my family did not have my fucking back. Like, even talking about it, I get angry. It's still very present for me. It like sits under the surface, but every once in a while it'll be, man, it doesn't take much. Cause when you touch it, woof, watch out. Cause then my ego kicks up and she's chewing gum and she's got her hair done and she's got high heels and she's got long fingernails. And she's like, I'm going to fuck you up. And I love her. Cause she's just like, here we go.
She's got your back.
Oh, she's the best. I love my ego. She's such an asshole. She's not my best self, but she's great when I need her. She's just like, we're getting out of here, bitch. Put your shoes on. Let's go. But she has my back. Yeah.
One of the things you made me think when you were typing into ChatGPT, that's almost akin to journaling. I know you've got a response and you don't necessarily get a response unless you do the two-way prayer, but you don't, you know, there isn't a response when you're journaling. But it felt similar to journaling, that you were you wrote out everything that had happened, and how that is a, you know, a release.
Yeah.
And it's useful.
Well, and I will say I chose not to do it while I was still in it. Because I have enough trauma response training, very little, let's be super clear. I am not trauma informed. However, I have enough knowledge this much to know when I'm having a trauma response. I consider this to be like a trauma response when I'm hijacked like that, to just be in the response, to give myself a lot of calm, cool, just feel your feelings, sob it out, whatever you need to do, sit with cats. And then once all of it settled, I could. I don't think I could have, if I'd done that while I was still in it, I think it would have kept me spinning and it would have elongated the time I was in the hijack response.
You probably wouldn't even have been able to do it because you were in an emotional tizzy.
Well, I do think that highly intellectual people will do that. That's their first, they'll be like, what is wrong with me? Why can't I calm down? Why am I having such a hard time? Why am I? And I don't think that helps. I actually think that keeps the momentum of the hijack going. Because every time you're about to, remember when you were sleep training your kids? I don't know if you guys did that, but anyways, the baby would cry. And then the second time they'd cry for less time. And then the third time, I know sleep training is way not a good thing to do. Cowboy mate is like, you were the worst mom ever. How come you didn't know? Yeah. And I hated it too. I was like, this feels wrong, but I did it with both of my kids.
Nobody liked it, but we all did it. Yeah.
No, so bad.
Because it was the thing to do.
Yeah, they told us that's how you're supposed to do it. But they would, each time they cried, they would cry for less and less time.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how the hijack feels, is like, just get through the damn thing. Just be hijacked. Don't try to understand it. Don't try to make sense of it. Don't try to
Yeah, be with
intellectualize
them.
your way through
Yeah.
it. Just be with the childlike senses of like, you're a victim. Nobody's got your back. You're sad. They're wrong.
The nobody's got your back thing. It makes sense to me. I'm connecting it to the having my own back, and the more I have my own back, the more grounded and more solid and coloured in I feel, the less sketchy. Yeah, so that stood out for me in what you said. Kind of like, yeah, have your own back, Mia. Have your own back. Look after yourself. Make yourself the cup of tea. Treat yourself the way you.
Uh-oh. Is it time to get
I
up? Is
apologize.
that
I
Alexa?
apologize. Yeah, wake up. No, it's one of my several phones.
Is it the Prime Minister? Is it the Queen?
Yes.
Sorry. Is it the King?
How dare you?
I know.
Yes. So shall we close?
Wrap this up. What did you learn today, if anything?
The key thing I'm taking away is the value and importance for me of having my own back, of looking after myself, of shining the light and the attention on myself so that I am able to be aware of what I think and what I value and what is important to me.
Nice.
That's what I'm taking away from this.
Yeah, I love that.
What are you
It
taking away?
mine is very similar, is that I will continue to know what I want, need, and desire so that I can make sure that I'm not giving that away, or I'm not throwing and backing over it with my car, right? So that that helps me to not get swept away in somebody else's stuff. Because we're just humans bumping into each other all the time.
Yeah,
Okay.
someone else's stuff.
All right, lady. Any final
Bye.
parting
Oh,
words? Okay, bye is a great way to.
bye.
All right. Have a good one.
Bye.
Okay,
See you
bye.
later.